there's just a huge uptick in the negative feedback that, frankly, I'm not requesting, I'm not open for, and I'm not asking for. So it's all unsolicited for sure.
Hey, and welcome back to the next episode of the Trail Running Women podcast. I have a fun one today for you guys. And it's funny, I have so many thoughts on this. It's just like a fun conversation because Ellie is just a great person to chat to. She's a retired teacher, and then she turned author and small business owner. And she's a runner, obviously. But we talk about the shit people say to you when you are a female runner. And I am experiencing that in like a highlighted version now because I'm pregnant. So people are like, oh, I have all these things to tell you about how to do that. And the thing I like about Ellie is sometimes I think it's really hard to hear these things and be like, okay, they're not going to bother me. But you still don't want to talk about them because you wonder if you're the only one hearing them. So she just sent me a list of crazy stuff that people say to her. And it was really refreshing to have somebody just so transparent, be like, these are the crazy things and this is how I deal with them. So she also has some great solutions. But I mean, things that I can totally relate to that I've always heard is like some version of, I thought you would be skinnier because of how much you run, comments on how much you're eating, comments on how running is bad for your knees, and comments about it's dangerous for women to be alone and that that's too much mileage for a woman. And like, you know, the versions just sort of alter when you're pregnant. Like, surely you wouldn't still be doing this. And like, why? Who, what, where, why? Anyways, we all know I can go on a personal rant about this forever. So Ellie speaks much more eloquently and can think about both sides of it and then how to respond. Whereas I just am like, oh, I'm angry now. And when I'm angry, I say things that I regret. So it was nice to have somebody a little more mature, you could say, kind of see it from her angle anyways. And the feedback, her former teacher self, I guess, on, okay, so this is what's happening and this is a possible solution, I thought was really cool. So yeah, I hope everybody's doing well. We're mid-March, which is wild. I always feel like, so my birthday's actually in 4 days after this comes out. And so I'm gonna be 38, and being 37 felt like things were happening fast. And every year things are just faster and faster. So within a month, I will have a second child, which is bananas, but I'm having a lot of fun right now running. I'm like, I'm not running though. I am. I'm running slowly and just in the trails or whatever, but I'm having a lot of fun with my athletes who have these new big, like everybody took on a cool goal this year and everybody's super invested and is finding that it's like impacting their life in a good way. So just like shout out to everybody that I work with. I get such a kick out of checking their training programs, and it's like I'm getting my living through them right now since I can't. But I'll be totally honest, like I really am missing having hard workouts and signing up for something for purpose. So that is obviously one of the things that I think gets a little bit easier after the baby comes, because you're so focused on like, oh my God, I got to keep this thing alive. But I also am really excited to be able to be feeling like myself again and have something on the radar for me, because yeah, you start to be like, okay, I got to devote my time to this little human and the fact that I'm not in my normal body right now. And it's exciting to get that back. But because my oldest son is going to be 4 and a half, I also know how fast it goes, and that transition of like, oh gosh, is this my life now, is not going to be as bad the second time. Because yes, it is your life now, but it's not. It does change and evolve. And I'm not going to say toddlers are easier than babies, but they go to daycare. And that's nice. Hopefully, if you're lucky. We got lucky. Ours goes to daycare. So anyways, that's enough I'll say about that. I just really enjoyed this conversation. This was one you'll want to take out on your long run or any run. Ellie is just easy to connect with. So I will leave it at that, and I will link to everything else in the show notes.
I have a guest and a conversation I am really excited to get to today. I actually saw a post that you did on Facebook and reached out because I think it's something we were just chatting before the show that a lot of people can relate to, and we're hoping to just put it out there and see if we can help some people. So you, I also want to get into your running history and your fitness history. It looks like you've accomplished a lot. So thank you for joining us and welcome to the show, Ellie Schneider.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and just so excited to have this conversation together.
Yeah, for sure. You sound like you have a lot going on. So let's start with a bit about who you are, perhaps. Why don't you tell us a bit about who you were growing up as a person and as it pertained to sports, and then we'll get into kind of how you found running, which was a little bit later in life, which I also love.
Right. So growing up as a kid, I grew up outside of Portland, Oregon. We live outside of Austin, Texas now, but I grew up kind of out in the sticks. And so I've always been someone who loves to run, but I never defined myself as a runner until I was 38. But like as a young kid, I would be running around our property with my dogs and making forts in the blackberry bushes. And in high school, you know, I think every high schooler has a stressful home life. So I would, you know, go on runs around the neighborhood again with my dogs. We've always had 1,000 dogs. And then in college, with my dog in college, I would go running on old logging roads and stuff and just like dream about how our lives would be one day. Because my husband and I have been together since 1999, which dates me a little bit. And then early in my career as a teacher, my first teaching job was in Southern Oregon, and the other teachers on my team were really amazing runners. And I was like, well, I want to hang out with these people and make new friends since I didn't know anybody. And so I started running with them. And then now I'm in my 40s and I run because I absolutely love it. Like, I love the challenge of long runs. I love the mental clarity that comes with it. I love most of the wildlife. Being in Hill Country in Texas, it gets a little sketchy sometimes during the summertime with the snakes and whatnot. But, you know, I love dirty shoes and bright blue skies. I love running in the rain. I love all of it. So I'm just such a huge fan. I didn't run my first marathon until I was 40 in 2020, which was a fun journey in and of itself. But so that's, you know, I've just always loved being outside and hiking and all that stuff. And now, as you know, gotten into trail running again, I've just absolutely grown to appreciate it even more.
Yeah, that's a really good way you ended that, is that when you do get into trails, I do think your appreciation for what you're able to do and just being in nature definitely increases.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Before we get more into it, let's dig into this first marathon for a bit. So it sounds like all of the running you're doing is pretty passionate, I guess you would say, like just because you love it without having a rigorous race schedule. So what was it that got you to sign up for your first road marathon, which looks like it was 2 years after your first half?
Right. So we moved to Texas in 2015 and I changed careers. And I mean, I knew like two people in the whole state when we moved here. Like, I didn't even know how to drive to the grocery store. Like, there's the roads here are, everyone drives fast. Everyone's super nice, but I literally did not know how to even like get to the grocery store. So by 2017, I changed so many things about myself and, you know, I'd changed careers and I just wanted to get back in that headspace and heart space of being an athlete. And so I started working with a personal trainer. You know, I wanted to get back into like 5Ks, maybe 10Ks. And then I had a friend who was like, hey, why don't you run this half marathon? And I was like, didn't have an answer as to no. And then we ran it together. He did the full, I did the half. And then when I saw, so it's Austin, and so our medals are belt buckles. When I saw his belt buckle, I was like, wait, no, that's way bigger than mine. So I was like, well, I'm just going to run the full next year. And I was like, this is awesome. This is a year I turned 40. This is going to be amazing. I've always wanted to do this. And I just found so much mental clarity and so many ways to de-stress and just enjoy the world in a better way as a runner.
I think that's actually quite common, is to get into it because of the community and then it ends up giving you kind of more than you expected, which is kind of a cool bonus.
Right. Exactly. Like, I had dealt with, you know, some disordered eating and this and that. And then through working with my personal trainer and running and being able and learning how to fuel myself properly, there's just so much of that that just has to go by the wayside because you learn to see your value as much different. Like you see how much your body can accomplish as opposed to like, I need to fit into those jeans. And that was, those were huge things that my brain got to unravel running all those miles.
Yes, that is the basis of so much of anytime we talk about anything to do with body image is this realization of being thankful for what your body is able to do instead of not appreciating it because of how it looks.
Right, right. Like your value in the world is so much more than just like how you look and, you know, being able to run these trails and see these beautiful things and do all that is just, it's so incredible.
I'm wondering, like one of the things we want to get into is all of these comments, and you gave me a list of examples that you've had. And I feel like we're talking now at a time where you've been able to digest them and maybe come up with a way to handle them to a degree, because obviously you wouldn't need to post in a Facebook group if it was just like, oh, water off a duck's back every time, which is totally fair. And I think that's the thing for all of us, no matter how tough we feel like we are. It's always hard to get these comments. And I'm actually pregnant right now. So they've like escalated times 100 because once you're pregnant, then everybody's like, oh, I think that she wants me to comment on her body. And I'm like, yeah, I really do. Thank you.
Which is so wild.
It's so wild. It's almost like women who run are like public property in a sense. And I haven't found it in other sports quite the same. I don't know quite what it is, but I'm sure we're not the only ones to experience this. So I'm kind of wondering if some of these things that were said to you, and we'll get more into them in detail and use some examples, but let's start with like when you're training for this marathon and when you did that first marathon. Is that when they sort of started to escalate, or when did you find they became the worst or the start, I guess?
So yes, I've found like as I've, you know, been running races and kind of increasing mileage that there's just a huge uptick in the negative feedback that frankly I'm not requesting, I'm not open for, and I'm not asking for. So it's all unsolicited for sure. So last November I did a 4x4x48, the 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. And that was kind of where it hit its pinnacle. Of course, it's gone up since then, but I also have better boundaries now where just it was just so negative. Like it was hard for me to even come into contact with anyone. And these are people who like care about me and we socialize with and friends and family. And there was just nothing positive. And, you know, there's comments like, oh, that's crazy. I could never do that. I don't even want to drive that far. And frankly, those don't really bother me, right? Like, those are fairly innocuous. They're not super helpful, but like, they're fine, you know? And I always want to tell people, like, if you could just believe in yourselves for like a hot second and just try, there are so many other amazing things on the other side of that finish line, but it's okay if you don't want to. It's not your journey. That's fine. But like, the problem is when the comments then cross the line into disrespect. Even and especially when they come from people who do care about us.
Yes. And I think you make kind of a good point there that a lot of the time it's people who wish they could be doing these things. And the only way they can kind of get it to be okay with themselves is to put you down.
Right.
So yes. Which of them? Okay. So I'm just going to read a couple of the ones you've said.
Yes.
And this one, I feel like we've all heard. I thought you would be skinnier running all those miles.
It's like a shot in the heart.
Yeah. What does that feel like? And what does somebody's intent, do you think, when they say that?
Right. And so this comment has been said to me many, many times, you know, and it looks different. Like, I thought you'd be skinnier. You don't look like a runner, you know, like all those types of things. And I honestly, that specific comment is rooted in someone's own acceptance of diet culture. It doesn't have anything to do with you and how you look and what you're doing. It has everything to do with how they view their own body. And, you know, like I said, a lot of that's rooted in diet culture. Those are antiquated ideas, especially about how women should act, behave, and look, and that we need advice from people about how to make decisions about our own wellness and our own bodies.
Yes, I think you're right. And I also think for me, those comments got worse road running than trail running. And that's part of the reason that I like trail running. And I didn't actually, like, they almost kind of subsided when I was heavy and only trail racing. And then I decided to try to do a fast marathon.
Right.
And almost exclusively from men, unfortunately, the response was kind of, if they asked what my goal was or how fast I ran the marathon, was to look at me and say, but you don't look like a runner, or like, aren't runners supposed to be waifs, or like, don't you weigh too much to run that fast?
Oh my Lord. Yes.
And I, yeah, like, it's kind of so shocking every time that you can't quite respond properly in the moment. And then you kind of spend quite a bit of time thinking, like, I wonder what that person, like, if they just kind of word vomited it out before they thought about how that might land, or I don't even know. That one baffles me kind of the most, actually.
Right. And it's wild that someone would say that, first of all. And like I said, it is definitely a reflection of themselves, but they, you know, it absolutely cuts really, really deeply, especially that one, especially about body image, especially for women. And it's so difficult because I would say probably most women have had to overcome some sort of body image or disordered eating or body dysmorphia or something, overcome that throughout their lives, or continue to deal with it and just battle back with all the tools that they have. So when someone just off the cuff says something like that, it's wildly inappropriate and absolutely ridiculous, you know, even though it is, you know, on my kinder, gentler side, I do understand why they say that, because that's where they're rooted. However, sir, I'm not your audience. Move on, you know?
Yes, exactly. And sometimes I do want to give the benefit of the doubt. And I'm like, maybe this person is like, okay, this person looks like an athlete and they've lifted weights. And if you look at marathon runners on TV, they are a certain body type. So they're not, like, maybe part of it is my internal interpretation of this person and saying that they're basically saying you're too big to be a runner, when maybe what they're saying is you look stronger than somebody who's running a fast marathon. Maybe. That's what I like to tell myself. But then right. I'm like, okay, now I've spent half an hour sitting trying to decipher what this person meant. And that's not fair either. We can't let these thoughts like live rent-free in our brain for so long.
Right. Because there's so much of running or any athletics or really doing anything hard in life, right? That's mental. You know, some days it's really dang hard to get out the door. And some days it's hard to finish a run. Like, you know, the weather conditions, or you have cramps, or, you know, you just don't want to, you're tired as hell, you know, and you have to have that strong mental game. And when comments like those kind of weed in a little bit, you have to have so many flowers in order to block all those out, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's a really good way of putting it. And the next example, this one also resonates. You're eating all that. What do you do when someone says that to you? And I'm assuming this is sort of after a long run when you have that insatiable hunger, and that's a comment you get from somebody.
Oh, Lord, it's all the time. Like, I've always been a big eater. I mean, I'm 5'1". I'm not a giant. I'm not a very tall person. But, like, I've always eaten a lot. And frankly, like, my husband is 6'2". He looks like, and he's a former football player, he looks like he would eat four times as much as I do. However, truly, I eat as much or more than him consistently, and I have for 25 years. So, I mean, this is something that people say all the time. And my response varies, probably according to how much food I've had. But, like, it, I just sometimes I'm like, yes. And then I just walk away. Or I will go into a little bit of my health history and why it's such a great thing that I fuel myself so incredibly well now. You know, just, it just depends. Or, you know, I'll say it, you know, you're concerned about something that's none of your business. and go back for another serving or whatever. So it just, you know, it depends. It depends on the situation. It depends on, you know, how feisty I'm being right there.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I didn't actually expect that I would have so much to add as far as like my own personal experience with your exact examples. But as I'm reading them out now on the podcast, I'm like, oh, yes, that also happens to me. So I'll just elaborate on that thought. Anyways, what I noticed, and my husband actually called it out on me, is if we went and did like a training run that was, I don't know, 30 miles or something, where you're just like ready to eat the whole restaurant when you got back.
Right.
That if the waitress looked a certain way, like thin and fashionable, I would like not want her to judge me. And I would preemptively be like, we just ran for 8 hours and I'm going to order 8 meals and like make sure she knew why I deserved to eat this, which is also so messed up in itself that like I'm the one blocking this from happening, even if I think she's just going to think it.
Oh, and my little heart breaks because of that, that we feel like we have to defend ourselves. Like it, like we're put on our heels about comments about our body or what we think are going to be comments or how much we're eating or something like that. I mean, I've never heard anyone ever say to my husband, like, oh, you're not eating very much, or, oh gosh, man, you really horsed that down, son. Like, I've never heard anyone say that to him, you know?
Yes.
But they have to me many times.
I'm curious, like Oregon and then also Texas, from a Canadian perspective, are sort of two different vibes. Do you feel like, and maybe you didn't experience it when you lived there, or maybe you go back, I don't know, that it's worse in one area or it's sort of universal?
It's universal. And frankly, Texans love to eat. We're so big on the barbecue and the Tex-Mex that like a lot of people are excited when you, you know, are like, no, this is for me. I'm not sharing this with my husband. And it's a half pound of brisket and like a half a rack of ribs and like a side of beans. And they're like, get it, girl. A lot of people are excited that you're eating that much because they, especially the people like small restaurants and things, they're excited about it. They're happy that you're eating all that much. You know, I found that a lot of the comments that are being made to me, they're not from strangers. Like they're from people who that I know that I've known for years that are friends and family or even like acquaintances that we see at like dinner parties or work gatherings or whatever. You know, a lot of times strangers are like, yeah, sure. That's get after it, you know?
Yeah, that's such a good point. And if it's a stranger, it's easier to just let it go. But if it's somebody in your life that you do care what they think about you because that's human, because they're a connection to you, how do you deal with that kind of in an ongoing way? And you can phrase this answer in, because my next question was going to be, if somebody's listening and is maybe having these comments said to them, what are some tools that you would offer as suggestions to deal with it, especially if it's people you know?
Right. So knowing, you know, of course, in our brains, we know that, you know, these people, it's all about them. It's not really about us. But however, I do also feel like it's important for, and this is probably from me being a teacher, to identify the behavior and give them an opportunity to course correct, right? So, and then I have a couple levels of responses depending on who it is, you know, how cranky I am. We won't say cranky. We'll say how strong I'm rooted in my advocacy that day. How's that?
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah, that's good.
That I will, you know, I'll say like kind of one of two ways. Like I'll either respond with, you know, helping someone to understand, because I always think like, oh gosh, bless your heart, you just must not get it. Or I will identify that they have crossed a boundary for me. So like, for example, like kind of a kinder, you know, way to say it, a gentler way to say it would be like, you know, in response to like your joints, like people talk about like my knees and my joints all the time, like it's any of their business and like it's going to impact them at all. I'm sure you get that all the time as well.
Yes, definitely. Especially I like to sauna.
Yes.
And there's like a generation of men that can hardly walk that are like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this because of your knees and stuff. And I'm like, you guys are not the people that I am like willing to take fitness advice from.
Right, exactly. And that is actually a response that I have given to someone. I have said, thank you. You're not someone I'm going to seek running advice from, period. And I just walk away.
That's then, perfect.
You know, and so that would be a very solid boundary that's very clear that they overcrossed. Another example would be like, sounds like you're concerned about something I'm not concerned about. And I'll let you know if that changes.
Yeah, that's a good one too, where you're like, you're not being offensive or confrontational, but you're definitely sending the message that like, you're doing something that's hurting me and this needs to change.
Right. And one I use a lot, like I said, with the after the 4x4 big 48, and then when I knew I was going to start training for my first trail 50K, which is coming up in February, I knew I was going to have to like put up some pretty solid boundaries. So this is one I use all the time. And it was a little itchy the first time I used it, but it's very effective. Something along the lines of, it's fine for you to feel that way about my running. However, I'm not your audience and we will not talk about this together again.
And how did that person respond?
She was very hurt that I said that. And I just repeated it. And I said, that's fine that you feel that way. I'm sorry that your feelings are hurt, but I'm just not your audience on this subject anymore. And I love you and I have to go. I can get off the phone.
Did you find the next time you saw her in person that it had affected your relationship?
No, I just gave her a really big hug. And frankly, I brought her cookies. So
yeah, that always wins.
Right. And then like, so some kinder, like gentler responses, you know, cause like the season of holiday parties or, you know, gatherings and this and that. So a lot of people say stuff is, you know, thank you for sharing. I promise I've done my research and I have made the best decision for me and my family. I promise I'm smart. And I do have a special reaction when people ask, which I do get a lot from kind of the older crowd, is like, oh my gosh, how does your husband feel about you spending all this time away from home?
That was what I was going to, because your comments that you've heard sort of shift from body image into some of this like stuff about running as a woman that I did want to get into next. So great segue. But yes, that one always blows my mind. And I don't think you guys have kids, right?
No, we have a chocolate lab who's a wild toddler. So
I'm amazed that, like, I sort of wondered if those were more directed at moms, but it's interesting to hear that somebody that doesn't have kids is also getting that, because definitely when you're a mom, people are like, well, where's your kid? And I just started being like, I don't know. Because like, of course he's with his dad because he has another parent. And like you said earlier, no one ever sees my husband on a run and goes, well, oh my gosh, where's your son? Like, they just sort of assume he's with me.
Right. And it's just, it's, well, oh yeah, I don't know where he is. Have you seen him today? I mean, you know, like, of course, like, you know, for you as, and anyone to be able to run ultras is in, you have to have so much awareness and time that you have spent on your health and wellness. You're not just going to then screw off the rest of, you know, the entire picture of health and wellness, which is a happy family. Like, why would I be able to run, you know, 50K, 100 miles, 250, and yet not be able to take care of my son properly? Like, that's nonsense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's
what I mean. Also, there's so many studies about how like a kid's relationship with fitness directly correlates to what they see their mom doing. And it's not actually their dad. It's if their mom has a passion for exercise and all of these things that are like, you need to take care of yourself to take care of your kids. So it's a positive when people are out there doing things for themselves. So those particular comments definitely irk me, I think, the most. But back to kind of you getting that, you know, you should be home with your husband type comment. How did you respond to that one? And how does it make you feel?
Right. Like, I should be home, like, ironing my husband's shirts and like waiting to see what he wants me to cook him or something. Like, so my, and this is one I use all the time. I like to have templates in my head. So like, I'm ready and I'm not completely blown overboard, you know, when these comments happen. I mean, it still can occur. But so I just say my husband loves and respects me and period dot. Like, I don't go into more than that because I don't need to defend myself because I'm not committing a crime. I'm simply going for a run. Like, just let me have it. Move on, you know?
I love that your responses, and maybe this is partly because you're a teacher, are so direct without, like you just said, without you having to feel like you need to justify yourself, but they're still getting the point across. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways I'm getting from your ability to respond to these.
I mean, probably. I mean, I was an elementary school teacher for 18 years, so that just is like my natural kind of go-to, right? But because you want to de-escalate the situation. Because frankly, someone who's telling you something like that, you don't want to get further down in the weeds in that conversation because there's nothing good down there. That's a swampy nonsense. You just want to identify it and then, you know, and then move on. And then frankly, people who are making these comments, they just need to not be in your inner circle for that season. They just lose their front row ticket. They're in the nosebleeds for a little while, which, you know, that also kind of sucks because a lot of these people are your friends and family who you love, and you'd love to tell them about, you know, the awesome run that you just did, and you are just so pumped that you are running the hell out of those back-to-backs, and my God, the vert that I climbed today, but they're not your people. They're not your audience for that because they're just going to come back with negative nonsense based on their own self-belief. So we just got to identify it and, you know, and then move on.
Yeah, I think that's such a great, healthy way of setting boundaries without then ruining any friendships from your side too when you're like in that vulnerable position.
Right. And like I said, sometimes when I have to get into the meanies, when I have to dig deep into that, that means that person has said multiple things to me, or I'm in a state where I just give no fucks. And this conversation is done and you're never speaking to me about this again. And it's going to be very clear. And that person might have hurt feelings about that. And that's okay. Like I said, you know, you can bring cookies and usually people are fine after that.
Yes, totally. And I've had an example of that too, where somebody did cross a boundary multiple times and then you just have to say like, this isn't welcome anymore and take space.
Right. And I think it's also important for us to identify, hey, that comment's not appropriate. And depending on, you know, what you want to do, it's not appropriate because it's not helpful and kind. And this is what I used to tell my little kiddos all the time, right? Is that, you know, are your words helpful and kind? They have to be both. Like, if you think you're being helpful by telling me that, man, looks like you really gained some weight this race season, which has happened to me. If you think you're being helpful by saying that, you also need, is it kind? It's not. So we use our little third grade judgment stick there. It has to be helpful and it has to be kind. If it's not both, then it's not for you to say out loud. So
that's an interesting point too, because again, in my example, someone's defense when I called them out was that they were trying to help me and that I should therefore listen to them. And I was like, the interesting part. And so for me, it was about running a race while I was pregnant, which this is my second child. I ran loads more races when I was first pregnant. Obviously, I have checked with my midwives and I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm being safe. If you were concerned because you had had a personal experience with somebody running too much and something going on with pregnancy, which I don't know anyone,
right?
You would take me aside and say, as a friend, I need to talk to you about this because I'm worried. But the action that was actually taken was to say to other people, oh my God, Hillary shouldn't be running that much because she's pregnant. It's super dangerous and unhealthy. And I'm like, doing that when I'm not there, how is that actually helpful? Like, don't hide behind that mask of I'm trying to be a friend here when that's not the case at all. And then I said, you know, like, I don't actually think you have any knowledge in the female body being pregnant or running while pregnant. And their response was, oh, I've run lots of races and I won them, so you should listen to me. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I think we're probably not going to change your take on this. And it's time to just kind of cut ties with this relationship for how long, however long you need to kind of come around, because I don't need that.
Oh, and again, the fact that people consider them to be more of experts on your body than you are is, it's silly. I mean, it's again, it's nonsense. So, on that topic, so this is a comment that I got. I first got it years ago when I was just lifting, just lifting, when I was doing CrossFit, and I wasn't running a whole lot, but I have gotten it a couple of times, especially since we don't have kids, along the lines of like, running's really bad for your reproductive organs. Like, you're going to permanently damage yourself. I was told that at 20, and I'm, you know, and at 20, you know, you don't really have the words or the backbone to kind of come back. And so my friends and I have turned this into a joke. So at every finish line, we kind of, you know, we finish and we look around and we're like, man, where are all those uteruses that just fell out because running is so bad for women? Oh man, no uteruses today. And like,
that's amazing.
I mean, because it's so silly, because that's what they're saying. Like, it's just gonna, you know, and I'm just like, but you're not the expert here. You're not the expert on my body. You're not the expert on my choices. And let's say that I'm making a wildly irresponsible choice by running long miles. Still none of your business. It doesn't affect you. It's my own body. Like, you know?
Exactly. And that's kind of where I was going with my story too, is the next chunk of your comments are so much about the physical. Especially yeah. This one that I'm sure every single person listening has heard. Like, running is so bad for your knees. It'll ruin your knees.
Yeah.
If you're running properly, the changes to your body and the long-term health compared to the damage that you're doing, if you have the right shoes, if you're landing on the right place of your foot, if you're including some trail running and some variation and some strength, which it sounds like you're doing also, like, that's your responsibility and your body again. So if you're going to tell me that, like, the risk of some knee pain versus the risk of what it happens if you live a sedentary lifestyle, like, it's crazy.
Right, exactly. And that's what a lot of the people who are making these comments, they're not athletes, they're not runners. And, you know, and so, like, I'll say to them, like, kind of one of two things, like, you know, thank you for your concern about my knees. That's a common myth. Runners actually have been scientifically proven to have healthier joints, stronger cartilage, and better bone density over time because of how well we take care of our health. So, like, that's, you know, me being kind. And then me not being kind is well, I guess we'll just find out. You know, and I guess I'll, you know, text you when I'm 80 and I'll let you know, how it goes. I mean, you know, because, like, sometimes you just want to laugh at these because, like, honestly, like, when I type these out and I'm reading, I'm like, these are so stupid. But people say them all the time, and it does get in your head sometimes. Like, when I made that post, it was, you know, two people who care about me a whole lot had said those, and I'm like, man, I just can't get these out of my head this week, and I've got, you know, some miles I have to run, and I don't want these worming their way in, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of my next question before I get into sort of an overview about this for you, but that the one that comes up a lot is running as a woman and that being dangerous, which is what I think you wrote in that post. And so is that just location, running by yourself, anything specific, or how do those comments come up for you?
So, I mean, I'm naturally a very, like, safety conscious person. Like, my husband calls it my field trip brain. Like, I'm very safety aware. Like, I always, you know, kind of, I have good situational awareness and everything, right? And so when these questions and things come up, I mean, it's been kind of across the board. Like, anytime I run by myself, it's dangerous. Anytime, anywhere. I mean, even someone said to me, like, and this person loves me so much, that I should be careful going to the grocery store because I'm young and blonde. And I'm like, well, I'm 43. No one thinks that's young. And I'm not a natural blonde, if that helps anybody out. So, but it's just, it's this notion that, like, overall, like, that women need to be protected constantly. And I'm like, yes and no. Like, I have tracking. My husband always knows where I'm at. Half the time if it's a new trail, half the time he'll come with me and, and do his own thing while he's tracking me while I'm out running. And, and then once I finish my run, then we'll go and eat something together or whatever. But it's, these comments about the safety of women. And it's like, now you're putting the onus on the woman as opposed to the dirty, dirty creeps that you're actually talking about.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking, is like, should we have to be careful, or should we be able to teach predators that what they're doing is wrong?
Right, exactly. And just having everyone just be aware as you're walking through the world, if you see people by themselves, just keep an extra eye out. And, so there's this trail in Austin. It's downtown Austin, and it goes, and it's a 10-mile loop, and it goes around the lake, and it's a beautiful way to see the city. I always, whenever people come visit, I'm like, let's go down, because there's a 5K loop, and then it's the 10-mile loop is the whole thing. Beautiful way to see the city. It's actually very peaceful. There's a boardwalk that you run on across the lake. It's amazing, right? But that's when I get the most comments, if I'm going to go down there by myself. So I just don't tell people in advance other than my husband. And then they're like, oh man, you're running in the city. That's terrible. But then, oh, you're running on a trail. Well, that's terrible, 'cause there's snakes and hogs and who knows what else. And I'm like, okay, all of these things are true, but I'm not just going to sit at home and, like, make hot chocolate behind a locked door for the rest of my life. So,
No, I can make hot chocolate behind a locked door every now and again, but
right. After I'm done with my run, let's lock the door. Let's make some hot chocolate. Let's relax.
So, first of all, I want to thank you so much for sharing all of those things openly. But I think you kind of said it before too, where it's one thing when it's an isolated incident and somebody says this to you and it feels shameful, but when you write them out and we talk about them out loud, like, we've both laughed quite a few times because you do realize how ridiculous this is. So I'm hoping that sort of sense is what resonates with people who are listening if they're facing anything like this. But on a larger scale, how do you feel about just the fact that this obviously is something that you have to deal with, whether it be your safety, your size, your lady parts falling out, like, all the time? Does it ever feel like, you know what, it's not worth it for me to tell anybody I'm doing this marathon? Or, like, does it ever weigh heavily on your kind of bigger outcome goals, if you know what I'm asking?
Yes. And yes, we're recording this Christmas week, and we kind of avoided a few holiday parties this year because I was like, honestly, I'm very open with the running journey on social media and everything. I just don't want to, and people are polite for the most part on social media, that in my experience, which is, I understand, probably very rare, but in person, then I'm going to get all these questions. And I'm like, I just don't have the patience to be nice for 2 hours eating appetizers, listening to how terrible the life decisions I've made are. So we've avoided some holiday parties. I do avoid telling people. In fact, it was a friend of a friend, and she was in town, and my friend had told her, like, oh, this is my friend Ellie. She's running her first 50K. And she was like, 50K? She's like, I've never even heard of that. What is that? I've only heard of 5Ks. But she asked interested and informational questions, because I was just geared to just shut it down. Just like, oh yeah, it's a run. Like, oh, let's talk about something else. Look, there's a dog. But she asked she was very interested, and she wanted to know what it is. She was truly curious. And I was like, okay, this is lovely. Maybe I should be a little bit more open and just as it comes up, shut it down, as opposed to, because I have kind of shut the conversation down by just not participating and not telling people about it.
Yeah, that's so true. And then what happens is we miss out on the great people in the community or the great people that you can inspire that are maybe like, wow, I didn't know that was a thing. And now suddenly it's on my like bucket list of things to accomplish in my life.
Right, exactly. Like I had no idea what an ultra marathon was until a few years ago. And my husband's best friend flew down here and he was like, hey, will y'all crew me for the Bandera 100K? And it was his first 100K. And we were like, yes, tell us exactly what you need. And he's like, basically a lot of food. And I was like, I can absolutely do that.
Can accomplish that.
Yeah. Yes. So, and well, then, yeah, same thing. It inspired me and it kind of like, you know, rolled around in my head. And then, you know, this year I'm like, well, we're gonna do this. So.
Yeah, which is amazing. And I mean, we are just going through time so fast here because you are just fun to chat with. And I didn't feel like I was going to get as like invested in this conversation from an emotional standpoint, but I definitely am feeling like angry and also empowered that like you definitely had some amazing solutions for people that I hope that they can take away from this. But before we finish up, let's get just quickly into your 50K because as I said, I'm pregnant, so I'm pre-recording so I can have new episodes come out when the baby also comes out. So yeah. You will be running your 50K around the time this comes out. Tell us a bit about how you're feeling for it.
I'm super excited. Like I asked a friend of ours to pace me for the last 10 miles because it's a 10-mile looped course. And so my husband's going to have the, you know, ground zero aid station. And then I asked a friend of ours, hey, you know, will you pace me the last 10 miles? And he gave me amazing advice. And he said, live in the gratitude. He goes, when training gets hard, live in it. He goes, don't just like write it in a journal, live in it. And I've just been really just trying to stay in that. Like, I was running a couple weeks ago, you know, and I had super tight psoas and frankly, my knee hurt really bad. And of course they were on opposite sides. So I was like the opposite side that hurt. I was like, my left hip feels amazing. My right knee is working so well, you know, and just living in that gratitude. So I'm having a great time. I'm trying out new trails. Just having a great time, frankly.
Yeah, that's the best way of doing it. And that's such good advice. And we talk about that because you'll need to call on that in the race too, because there's always a time in a 50K, especially your first one, where you're like, oh, this is insane. Like I quit running. And then if you can change your mindset to, wait a minute, like this is what I signed up for. And I'm so lucky to get to be here and feel this feeling. It's a game changer for sure. So that your friend had top-notch advice.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm excited to run it. And frankly, some of these comments, and when I look at the people who make these comments, I feel even more gratitude because I'm like, I'm so happy that I am mentally, physically, and emotionally healthy enough to be able to do these things that people have never heard of, that I never heard of, that I never thought that I was going to be able to do. So I'm happy to be here. I'm like a golden retriever. I'm just happy to be invited to the party.
You sound like one. This has been so much fun to chat with you. And I am excited to follow along on your socials. I imagine you're going to post about your 50K. So if other people want to maybe chat with you about comments or get some more advice or follow along on your journey, where can people find you?
Oh, this has been so fun. Thank you so much. I mean, I feel like you and I could sit and have like hot chocolate for half the day and it'd be so fun. So I would love for people to connect with me, let me know how they handle the issue. And if any of this advice, helped them at all, I am at Ellie Runs It All on Instagram. And, my link in bio takes you to all the things, my books and writing adventures. I'll be adding coaching opportunities in early 2024 as well. So, and I do definitely, I'll be sharing a lot about everything that it goes into running your first 50K and all the well-laid plans. And then, you know, when everything goes sideways, how to figure out how to just keep going.
Well, amazing. Thank you again so much for your time and best of luck in your 50.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day and just have an awesome, awesome winter.